Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Second quarter action starting here with a snap of the football. Monmouth has it a second down and six from their own 24-yard line. Frazier wants a throw. He's got Sterling open to the 35-yard line. He'll fall forward to the 37, pick up 13, and MU will have a first down. A couple of top 25 games going on involving one of the locals in the New Jersey area. Number 20, Rutgers leading Syracuse 7-0. That game in the second quarter. Also in the Big East, Louisville leading Pitt 24-21. Iowa State on top of K-State 7-3, and Oklahoma leads Texas by a score of 20-2. Here's Frazier into the open field, stays on his feet, will come forward for big yards, make a move of the 45-yard line, get forward into Cornell territory, taken down at the 35-yard line. Another big run for Kyle Frazier. Not necessarily what you want to see all the time, but Monmouth will take it, trying to bounce back after a sluggish first quarter.
The Hawks, Matt, outgained 104-87 in that first quarter, but already moving the ball here. Nice zone read keep from Kyle.
Frazier wanting to throw here. Goes across the field. Catch will be made. Hauled in by Thaddeus Richards. 3-yard pickup down to the Cornell 32-yard line. You know, I made the point off air in between the first and the second quarter. That first quarter reminded me so much of the way Monmouth played against Lehigh. They just didn't seem to have a whole lot of zip, but good to see how they've responded here to start the second quarter.
Yeah, whatever Coach Callahan said between quarters, I think the message has gotten there. Matt, I agree with you. A flat first quarter, but so far the first minute and change of the second quarter is encouraging.
Cornell showing blitz, and here they come. Man open is Davenport inside the 20. He'll make the catch at the 19-yard line. Frazier did a great job of reading the blitz and finding the open receiver.
Yeah, the corner on the play, which is Jared Watson Lewis, rushed. And ironically, Rush Miller, the safety, wasn't anywhere in the picture. That was a defensive miscommunication there, and Miller didn't get over fast enough. And because of that, it's another first down.
This, the Monmouth offense we know exists. Hawks moving down the field here. They have it first and 10 from the Cornell 19-yard line. Little screen pass set up to the left side. Hayes catches it, bounces down inside the 15 to the 14-yard line. Gains 5 to bring up a second and 5 with now 13 minutes and 15 seconds remaining. Cornell leading here 7-0 in the second quarter.
And now, Matt, I'm going to circle. If I had the telestrator in front of me, I would circle number 17, Neil Sterling, on the right side there. Singled up, smaller corner. This is the best Neil has looked, the most comfortable he's looked on that ankle in a long time. I would love him on a fade right here.
Second and 5. Frazier will keep it on the ground. Give it to Hayes. Work off the right side. Spin off of a tackle. Stay on his feet. Rumble his way down inside the 10. Get close to a first down. Looks like he's going to be about a half yard shy of a first down. You talk about that matchup. Sterling listed at 6'4". Kendall Brown, a freshman corner at 5'9", is the player who is matched up with him at least the last couple of plays. Now it looks like they will bring over Jared Watson Lewis, much taller at 6 feet.
I know I probably sound like a broken record. I know when I see Neil's mom and dad out, they say it all the time too. But I just feel, Matt, he's a matchup you've got to exploit really across the board. If it's him, if it's Tristan Roberts, Monmouth's skill players have the advantage.
Frazier here, 3rd and 1. Hayes will get the carry. He'll have a first down. Chopped out inside the 5 at the 4-yard line. It'll be 1st and goal for MU. Tackle made by Brian G., the safety who came up.
Like what you see from the offense on this drive. Nice mixture of run and pass, and now the ball, which is going to be spotted at the 4, weird spot. Do you keep it on the ground? Do you go with some kind of fade into the end zone? It's not close enough where you can just go power and line it up.
Hayes will keep it on the ground. He's going to walk into the end zone for a touchdown. Great chop block thrown down the field by Tyler George. Got the corner for MU. Touchdown, Monmouth. Hayes scoring here on the ground for his 6th time this year, and MU an extra point away from tying it up.
Yeah, you said it. Tyler George set the edge with a tremendous chop right to the right of the formation, and the zone read look, Kyle, had an easy give to Julian, who walked into the end zone.
Eric Spillane on here for the extra point as MU trying to tie this one up. Great drive to answer that scoring drive from Cornell. Craig Peterson, the holder. Evan Ruane, the long snapper. Low snap, good hold Kick is up, and that is good. 7-7 our score with 11:46 to play in the first half. MU has tied it up. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Monmouth football on the Shore Sports.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and shoresportsnetwork.com.
The members of the Monmouth University Athletics Department would like to remind everyone that November 2nd is the Hall of Fame dinner. The Monmouth Sports Hall of Fame class will be officially inducted at 6:30 in Wilson Hall. And then the next day, when the Hawks host Central Connecticut State University on Family Day, they will be honored at halftime. If you want to go to the Monmouth Sports Hall of Fame dinner, contact the MU Alumni Association at 732-571-3507.
Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti back here from Cornell University, where the Hawks have tied it up at 7 apiece. Lucas Santangelo getting sent to kick off. Grant Gallantly and Silas Nasita back deep. Santangelo approaches at the 35-yard line, angles this one to his left. Gallantly will field it inside the 10. Ripped down at the 20-yard line. Good coverage down the field from Colin Cooper.
Well, whatever sleepwalking Matt Monmouth had in their system, they have gotten rid of that in 3 minutes and 20 seconds here in the second quarter. Great offensive drive and a great special teams tackle from Colin, playing not too far away from where he's from, up in Geneva, New York.
Time for the defense to reestablish themselves as well. Chris Amrine getting the start at quarterback today in place of the injured Jeff Matthews. Comes out shotgun look, two receivers to either side, wanting to throw here on first and 10. Half time, lets it fly. He's got a man open. That catch is made, hauled in by Kurt Ondash, number 6 on the far sideline, had gotten around the coverage of Elijah Phillips. Big gainer on the play out to the Cornell 38-yard line, where it'll be first and 10.
I thought he overthrew the short receiver, and then you look down and Ondash is all by himself right around the 35. He was able to surge forward for a few extra yards. Outside of a couple errant throws, Amron looks pretty accurate back there in the pocket.
Gallantly, Ondash, and Tasker all go to the near sideline, set up a trips formation to the left. Cornell will keep it on the ground here with Hagee. He'll get dumped in the backfield. Upham, Demersion on the tackle along with Chris Luma, sets up second down and a long 10. 11 minutes to go here in the first half. Monmouth and Cornell tied at 7.
Cornell had 7 first quarter runs, already 1 here. That's way further ahead than they normally like to run the ball when Matthews is in the game. With Amrine, they're showing a bit more of a balanced look, still slightly skewed to the pass.
Amrine this time will come up under center, tight ends to either side, split wide receiver set as well. Single back is Hagee. Here's a pass to the outside. This one will hit Mitchell Pollard. Ondash was the intended receiver, and somewhere there was a bit of a breakdown in communication between Amrine and Ondash. And it looked like Pollard, I guess he couldn't get called for interference. The receiver wasn't even looking back at the football, but the two were tangled up pretty heavy.
Yeah, a lot of hand fighting. Ondash almost looked like he was blocking for a running play with how much contact there was, and Amrine threw it right into the back of Mitchell Pollard's number 1.
Third down and 10, 4 wide into the game. Amrine waiting, gets the snap, right smack in the middle of the field, 5 out in the pattern, will throw down, he's got a man open, that catch is made by Gallantly, who'll get pushed out of bounds, and a flag will be thrown in Monmouth territory at the 40-yard line.
These Cornell receivers are really good route runners, and they have great hands, and that's their game. They may not necessarily beat you over the top, they are yak guys, yards after catch guys. And that time, the first down into MU territory.
Saw one of the officials give a signal like it was an illegal block. That is the call. That is a spot foul. It still should be enough for Cornell to have a first down, but they'll march it back off 10 yards. Should be right at midfield. And actually put it at the Cornell 49-yard line. It is enough for a first down. Negates what would have been a 20-yard pickup until about a 10-yard pickup, but just enough to keep Cornell on the field with their offense.
You know, Pat Gray, another one of those injured Hawks, Matt, on the field now, so guys playing through pain. We saw Billy Louch earlier in the game, and now Pat.
Three wide receiver set. Single back is Mulatti. Amrine wants to throw. He's got a ton of time going down the seam. Overthrows Tasker, who had beaten the coverage a little bit. Amrine showing a good arm, but a bit too far. About 3, maybe 4 yards ahead of Tasker.
I don't know if he needed as much arm as he put into it. Again, the wind now was at his back on this play. And yes, Tasker did beat the coverage, but that would have taken a very, very special throw. The bigger concern on my end, at least, is the underneath receiver, Ondash, who cleared right around the 30-yard line, was also open. Not good when two receivers are open on one play.
Four wide receivers into the game now. Give you a Monmouth injury update in just a second. Second down and 10 for Cornell. Big Red have it at their own 49-yard line. Play clock winding down. Here comes an all-out blitz. Amrine gets it off. Cannot connect with the wide receiver number 82, Jesse Heon. Chris Luma, the fifth-year senior defensive tackle, in some pretty good pain right now on the Monmouth defensive bench. Looks to be a right leg injury.
Getting looked at by the sports medicine staff. He's wincing in a good amount of pain from our vantage point up here. Came off the field two plays before. Hopefully Chris is okay and can get back in the game shortly.
Third down and 10. Trips this time near sideline to the left, up top single man, far sideline to the right. Monmouth with a four-man rush coming. Amrine has it. Good blocking up front. Tons of time. Again, wide open here. Tasker will make the catch. Gets to the 25-yard line, down inside the 20, and taken down there by Pat Gray. Credit Luke Tasker for finding a hole in the Monmouth zone. Hawks only rushed 4, dropped 7, and Amrine able to connect with Luke Tasker.
Well, there was not a Hawk within 10 yards of Luke Tasker. That's the exact route that they ran the previous play when Amrine overshot the receiver in the end zone. That deep in cut right outside of the linebacker and in front of the safety has now been there a couple of times. Cornell exploits it there.
Golatly, the single receiver, up top to the right, tight end that way as well. Tasker and Ondash coming near sideline to the left. Now Golatly in motion, short motion. Amrine wants to throw again, going to the end zone, and he will overthrow Golatly this time and bring up second and 10. Every once in a while, you'll hear the wind kind of pick up on our crowd, Mike. It is gusting and becoming a bit more breezy here from Schoolcraft Field. Temperature has kind of held steady, but when that wind picks up, it is a cool fall-like breeze.
It's fall-like for you. It's winter-like for me.
That's beautiful.
It's a beautiful day, but it's too cold for October 13th.
First day with a sweatshirt and a jacket on. Love it. Amrine wanting to throw here on second and 10. Sets up screen, throws it into the turf as Mike Upham had defended well, and Amrine had no other option but to throw it down in front of Luke Hagee. It'll bring up third down and 10. 50 degrees, perfect. It's what it's supposed to be. It's October, buddy.
Hey, I love the fall. I do, but, you know, I needed more of an advance notice.
We're not outside. I mean, we are in a building.
Well, as if they can't tell it by the fact that it sounds like we're in a
fishbowl.
In a fishbowl, but we do have windows here on third down. Hey, no, it's beautiful, and it was a beautiful drive, too. A little fall foliage. It'd be even better with a Hawks win today.
Third down and 10 here. I set off the left side for Amrine, who wants to throw. Looking to the sideline. He's got a man open inside the 5-yard line. Good catch by Ondash, who took a hard hit. Miscommunication in the secondary that time as Elijah Phillips let the man go. Didn't get the coverage up over the top that I think he was anticipating.
It was, I believe it was the combination of both MU corners, Hildebrandt Jr. and Phillips over there. Phillips now in that safety spot. Credit Amrine really threading the needle with a beautiful pass. And then Ondash making a tremendous grab.
Wildcat look here as Nasita comes on. He's got the touchdown already. Golatly in motion. Nasita will keep it, and he will get dropped in the backfield. Elijah Phillips, the first man on the scene for MU. Back to the 5. Loss of about a yard and a half. It'll bring up second and goal. 8:35 to go here in half number 1. Monmouth and Cornell all tied at 7.
Yeah, they fake the sweep on that play to Golatly. And Nasidas, I thought Phillips, Matt, was going to have a great chance to rip the ball out the way he was getting in there and trying to tackle him. And I think because Cornell saw that and they lose a couple yards, they'll go back to more of their regular set.
Second and goal now. Amrine coming back in at the quarterback spot. Has two backs off to his right. Stack wide receiver set to the left, wanting to throw left, goes in the flat, looking for Tasker, and it was just maybe deflected away by Pat Gray at the last second. And now with just about 8 minutes remaining, a big third and goal situation coming up for Cornell.
Single coverage on the outside, Pat Gray on Tasker. I think Pat did well enough just to get a finger on that ball to now force the third and goal.
So Amrine went to the sideline, got the play call. Cornell huddles up. Seems to be a rarity these days, especially in college football, when teams actually huddle. Same set. Two receivers this time set off to the left. Single man up top to the right, and two backs in the backfield. Amrine wanting a shovel pass quickly inside. Heavy pressure coming from Cooper and Demersion. Monmouth pulling out a well-timed blitz. It goes as an incompletion, and on will come the field goal team for Cornell.
Heavy pressure. You said it, partner, on that play, as Demergen really leveled a shot on Amrine, and the ball kind of floated away, forcing this field goal attempt.
Here's John Wells, who is on the season 2 for 7. 23-yard field goal attempt. Good snap, good hold, kick is up. This one with no trouble, getting right through the uprights. 23-yard field goal for John Wells gives Cornell a 10-7 advantage with 7:57 remaining in the first half. We step out here for 30 seconds. Back with more Monmouth football right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Today's broadcast brought to you in part from our friends at the Penalty Box Cafe at the Jersey Coast Arena on Wyckoff Road in Farmingdale. Laser tag, arcades, and more. The Penalty Box Cafe is a great place for birthday parties, special and corporate events, or just a fun night out. Check them out online, jerseycoastarena.com.
14 plays, 75 yards for Cornell. Took up 3:45 of the clock. John Wells with a 23-yard field goal has given the Big Red a 10-7 advantage. Monmouth will get it back here as Wells will spot the ball in between the X of the 35-yard line and the left hash mark. Back deep for MU, Pete Nagy. Gets a little bit of a win behind him. Drives this one to his left, puts Nagy 8 yards back, and then lets it go over his head out of the back of the end zone. So Monmouth will get it here. First down and 10 from their own 20, coming off a scoring drive of their own. MU looked extremely impressive last time they had the football, and will look to do similar things and certainly a similar outcome this time.
Balance was the name of the game last drive. MU doing it on the ground and in the air before Hayes punched it in. They're going to need Matt to run the ball effectively here because they are going into that fierce wind as they'll start things from the 25-yard line.
We'll check the NAC scoreboard for you in just a second. Monmouth here with a first and 10 from their own 25-yard line. Asante has come back in at the running back spot. He will get the carry. Now cuts back to his right. Gets out to the 30. Gets to about the 33-yard line. Nice run for Asante. An 8-yard pickup to bring up a second and 2. Halftime from up in Connecticut, where CCSU leading Duquesne 17-7. St. Francis and Albany are scoreless right now. Monmouth quickly back to the line. Asante gets the carry, squirts through a hole, gets to the 37. First down for MU, 4-yard pickup. Robert Morris leads Bryant 7-0, and just about set to get underway. Sacred Heart kicking off at Dartmouth.
Another NEC-Ivy clash. Obviously matching MU and Cornell today.
This one has Cornell up 10-7. Frazier spreads the field. Ball set here from the right hash mark. Kyle wants to throw. He's got a man wide open. Catch is made by Tristan Roberts. It'll be a 9-yard pickup out to the MU 46-yard line. Second and 1 coming up. Inside of 7 minutes remaining here in this first half.
You know, Matt, Cornell appears to be really soft and off on the outside of Monmouth. They're giving Kyle that underneath pass.
Frazier wanting to throw here again. Going to go down the field, far sideline, looking for Roberts, who makes the catch, but he was out of bounds. Roberts had slipped past Jared Watson Lewis, but just about a yard out of bounds when he hauled that in. You know, a look at the secondary for Cornell. Two freshman corners, a sophomore safety in Rush Miller and a junior safety in Brian G. So there is certainly some inexperience on the field in that area for the Big Red.
They do give up 253 yards per game in the air.
Third and one. Frazier off that zone read, going to keep it himself, have the first down, get forward over the 50-yard line and into Cornell territory at the 49. It'll be first and 10 now for the Hawks.
Good keep there from Kyle. They've really gone more traditional zone read these last few weeks. Once I think they saw that, Matt, he was really healthy and back to his old self, they threw that back in the playbook.
Frazier here with time, wants to throw, now steps up in the pocket, nobody open down the field, fumbles the football, and Cornell gets it back. Looked like he just kind of lost the ball without any contact, juggling from one hand to the next. Second turnover of the day for Monmouth, and seemingly the Hawks shooting themselves in the foot. They haven't done anything wrong offensively except turn the ball over. Cornell hasn't yet really been able to stop them.
That's true. They're kind of moving the ball at will when they can possess it. That time Kyle stepped up in the pocket. Normally when he escapes, he gets outside using the sideline as his ally. This time, he was in the middle of the field and kind of waving the football around. Once you cross that line of scrimmage, you've got to tuck it away, five-point principle in effect, and put the pigskin away.
He would have had a decent gain, too. Instead, it's first down and 10 for Cornell. Amrine, he's going to go back to work. He's got a man posted up in Mama territory. Tasker has become the favorite target. He'll make the catch at the Hawk 44. That will go as a first down reception. And Cornell now with an opportunity to jump up top. They already lead it 10-7. They've cashed in on some pretty good field position on the course of today.
Well, one time on the Tyler George fumble, this time on Kyle Frazier's fumble. I want to see what Cornell can do if they're given a full field, but if they keep forcing turnovers, they won't have to.
Four wide receiver set. Hawks showing blitz, and here they come. Amrine lets it fly. Tasker the intended target here, but a bit high and wide. Gray on the coverage to jar Tasker off the ball to make sure. It'll set up a second and 10.
And one of the few balls that Amrine has thrown that wasn't well thrown. That one had the duck noise coming off of it out of his hand toward the sideline. He does have the wind at his back on this drive. And too wide for Tasker.
Cornell breaks from the huddle. They will send Tasker and Heon off to the left side of the formation. On dash is the single man up top to the right. Amrine gets it. Has time. Now looks, moves, throws over the middle. Catch is made. There is a flag down. This has got to be a hold, I think. One of the Monmouth defenders, I believe it was Sullivan, was basically spun around by his jersey, and it will be a hold, and it's a costly hold. This is a spot foul, remember, holding, and it was thrown at the Cornell 47-yard line. The line of scrimmage was originally the Hawk 44, so this one should go back pretty deep. They'll put it back at the Big Red 46, so a costly penalty for Cornell. Comes at a good time for Monmouth. 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. 10-7, Cornell leads.
Defense needing to come through with a play here. I like the fact that Danny Sullivan is being able to rush the quarterback some more.
Second down and 20. Hawks have gone nickel. Joe Johnson in as that fifth defensive back. Showing blitz again. And here they come. Amrine escapes pressure. Finds a man open. Tasker makes a move. Continues to stay on his feet, gets back inside Hawk territory, inside the 40, taken down at the 37-yard line. There's a Monmouth player down right now, down close to midfield.
Couldn't see who it was initially. Have to check as the sports medicine staff has sprinted onto the field. And, you know, Matt, that play, MU went to more of their nickel look. Sullivan at the rush end, two linebackers on the field. But Amrine is doing a really good job finding hot receivers streaking across the field.
One player I don't see that usually is in for Mama defensively is Elijah Phillips. So I'm going to, we don't hate to do this and assume, but I'm going to venture a guess that it is Elijah who is down right now for Mama with 5:02 to go in this first half. Cornell will have it third down and about three from the Hawk 37-yard line.
I think your guess is spot on.
It is Phillips. He is helped up. Looks to be a right arm or right shoulder injury. So we'll try and give you an update on that as quick as we can. Hopefully Elijah okay and can make his way back onto the field. Such an important guy for Monmouth, both defensively and special teams-wise.
He's such a good player and a better kid, but has just had rotten health luck. And unfortunately hasn't been able to have the career I think he wanted to here at the university because of injuries. But as you said, he is such a key cog to what they do both defensively and in the punt return game.
Third and three now. Tight end off to the right side. Ty Bostain goes as a stand-up tight end to the left. He'll motion across the formation. Amrine wants to throw. Flushed in the pocket. Steps left. Lets it go towards the end zone. Got a man open. And this is going to be pass interference. Mitchell Pollard had the coverage on Kurt Ondash. And Pollard had his hands all over Ondash, the 6-foot senior receiver, and this will give Cornell a first down.
Well, the good thing is that in college, that's obviously not a spot foul. That is a 15-yard penalty. It was a real clean, clear-cut play, Matt. Mitchell was beat bad by Ondash, and he just reached out and tried to prevent the touchdown, thinking, you know what, I'll sacrifice the 15. I can't sacrifice the 7 points. So if that's the line of reasoning, it's a good one, but what isn't good is how bad he got beat.
Pollard, of course, making the transition over from the offensive side of the ball in the offseason. Now will certainly be counted on with Phillips on the sideline, continuing to be worked on. First and 10 from the Hawk 22. Bostain in motion. Amrine under center, going to give it to Hagee this time. Hagee will pick up one to the 21-yard line. And see why Cornell likes to throw the ball so much. The running game has been fairly ineffective. It was the one decent run by Hagee, one by Mullady. And other than that, the Hawk interior defense has done quite well.
Yeah, they're just not built to power run the football. They rarely, Matt, go under center. They'll do it out of the shotgun a lot of times. They do like the freshman Hagee, though. He was a good-looking product out of Pittsburgh.
Three wide receivers set. Amrine looking to throw again. Moves off to his left. Has time. Dumps it. Got a man open. Tasker inside the five. Dives forward. Touchdown, Cornell. Tasker fumbled as he broke the plane, but you've got to remember, the second that ball crosses the plane of the goal line, it is a touchdown. Doesn't matter that it popped out at the last second. Now, the Mama secondary falling apart a little bit on a couple of plays. One, the pass interference by Pollard. That one, Pat Gray, was beaten pretty clean. And Cornell with John Wells on for the extra point. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and it is good. Now leads this one 17-7. 3:50 to go in the first half. Second time today that Cornell has turned a Mama turnover into points. We step out for 30 seconds. Remind you that you're listening to Hawk Football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we welcome you back here from Shulkoff Field in Ithaca, New York. Cornell, the Big Red, leading Monmouth by a score of 17-7. 3:50 to go in the first half. Cornell has taking advantage of opportunities Monmouth has given them. A couple of turnovers for the Hawks in this first half, and Cornell has turned them into points on both occasions.
They're taking advantage of opportunities, and Monmouth now finds themselves, Matt, down 10.
John Wells on to kick off. Nagy again back deep. High end-over-end kick. Nagy 4 yards back in his own end zone. Going to take it and bring it out. Get stopped shy of the 15-yard line. Right at the 15 is where Monmouth will have it. First and 10.
Joe Johnson, who was his up man, gave him the hey, why don't you stay and take a knee, and then watched Pete Nagy run right by him. He wasn't able to make the 20-yard line. And it would have been even, you get it at the 25 now if you take a touchback. So it really behooves you to take a touchback if you're more than 3 yards deep in the end zone. The offense really needs to get something going here. They need to try to exploit their playmakers. Again, this Cornell secondary, Matt said it earlier, they're young.
Here's Frazier on first and 10, rolling off to his left, looking. He's got a man wide open in Roberts at midfield. 30, 25, 20. Nobody going to catch him. One play, touchdown Monmouth, an 85-yard pitch and catch from Frazier to Tristan Roberts. And just like that, the Hawks have cut it to 17-13.
There you go. Is that so hard? Said it before, Matt, on bootleg. They go three receivers. There's a tight end short, a receiver intermediate, and a guy over the top. Before in this game, when they went to George, the other two were open. That time, both the Cornell corner and safety cheated forward. Roberts leaked right around him. Picture-perfect throw.
Spillane on for the extra point. Now, if it was always that easy, it would be great. Good snap. Good hold out of Peterson, and Spillane knocks this one through. 17-14, Cornell leads. 3:34 remaining, a one-play, 85-yard scoring drive. Just how you draw it up. Let's check the NEC scoreboard right now. They're just starting the third quarter with Central Connecticut State leading Duquesne 17-7. St. Francis, Pennsylvania leads Albany 10-0. That game in the first quarter. Robert Morris and Bryant are all tied at 7, and just kicking off from up in New Hampshire, Dartmouth playing host to Sacred Heart.
I'd like to thank our friends at University Subs and Deli for their continued support of Monmouth Athletics. U Subs is on the corner of Larchwood Avenue and Wall Street, and they offer free delivery to the MU dorms, and all students receive 10% off of their total order. MyUSubs.com. 10-0, huh?
Last week, Albany went down in the first half in their game against Bryant, then came back to win fairly handily. But St. Francis, PA, by all accounts, pretty good football team.
Sneaky. They can run it really well. They've got a couple of playmakers, and they're doing it without Kyle Harbridge, their do-everything running back. I'll tell you, Chris Valerio's got something going on out in your favorite stop, Loretto.
Well, they had such a young team last year, and a lot of those guys are back this year. You know, if you play a lot of freshmen, there's a chance you're going to take your lumps. But then in years two and three, after those young guys get playing time, they could be pretty good, even in Loretto. Here's Lucas Santangelo on to kick it off. Puts this one high, not super deep. Gallantly fields it at the 7-yard line. And again, Colin Cooper on a special teams tackle. Check it. Jeremy Rodriguez, 93, not Cooper, 53, who is the next man in line to make that stop. It'll be Cornell football at their own 19-yard line, where they will have it first and 10. 3:29 remaining in the first half. Big Red lead it 17-14.
See if the defense now can keep the momentum alive. The only bad thing with a one-play scoring drive is your defense didn't get a chance to rest too often. So, yes, Kyle going up top to Tristan Roberts was great, but now that defense, which has been shredded throughout the first quarter and a half or so, back on the field.
Picky, picky, picky you are. 3:29 to play in the half. Amrine wanting to throw, again finds Tasker, again open in the zone, out to the 38-yard line. This is a gain of 19. Luke Tasker, 5'11", 191. He's a senior from up here in upstate New York. We talked about his connection, obviously, with his dad, Steve Tasker, in the NFL for so many great years. And, boy, they kind of look the same, don't they? You know, same kind of body type. And though Tasker was known more as a special teams guy, was a pretty good wide receiver for those good Buffalo Bill teams that lost those four Super Bowls.
You said it. They look alike. They run very similarly. You could see who his dad is, obviously.
Amrine wants a throw. Has time. Flashes this one to the outside to his left. On dash will make the catch inbounds at the 43-yard line. 5-yard pickup will leave Cornell with a second and 5.
You know, I kind of said it before. These Cornell receivers are really good route runners, and they don't drop passes. When MU falls back into that zone, you almost play into Cornell's hands because that's what they want to do. They want to be short and intermediate and drag across the field. When MU puts pressure on and they man up on the outside, they seem to have a little more success.
Four wide receivers set. Monmouth saw something that they didn't like. They will use a timeout defensively. There must have been a mismatch somewhere because Kevin Callahan came running out onto the field and called a timeout. 2:25 to go in the first half. Cornell 17, Monmouth 14. We step out for 30 seconds. We're back with more Monmouth football right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
I know my geography. Don't challenge me, young man.
This is your element up here. Are you going to go hiking after this?
If I had time to, I probably would. Back here, 2:25 remaining from Schoelkopf Field. Cornell leads 17-14 over Monmouth. Blitz coming. Amrine has got a screen set up, and he's got a man wide open. Hagee's going to have a first down. All right, we're back here from Schoelkopf Field. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti, 63 seconds remaining in this first half. Cornell trying to add to a 17-14 lead. They have it third down and three from the Monmouth 18-yard line. Amrine with a split backfield, wanting to throw, dumps it off of the flat, and Hagee dropped the football. Boy, did Monmouth get a break there, because Hagee would have had the first down and then been matched up one-on-one with Demersion, but there is a flag down.
I believe they're going to get Cornell, Matt, for the old pick play, and the reason Hagee was so open was because the inside receiver, I believe Ondash, gave the old rub play on the slot corner, which was Joe Johnson. They're talking to Coach Callahan right now. I'd like to think he's going to decline it to keep it fourth down, but the yardage may come into play here.
Well, it looks like Monmouth will, in fact, take the penalty. And this is a big penalty. Ball will get marched all the way back to the 33-yard line. It's a 15-yard penalty. And we'll set up third and long.
Under a minute to go in this first half. So we'll see what Cornell elects to do here. They have the wind at their back. They could try to pick up a few more yards. They do have one timeout left, and then try a long field goal.
Three wide receivers this time out to the right. Single man back to the left is Ondash. Amrine setting up. Steps up in the pocket under pressure. Dumps it down. Mulady's open. He makes the catch and a move to the 20-yard line. Slips forward. Gets close to a first down. This is going to depend all on the old spot of the football. Left foot, right foot.
Oh, wow. They signaled it without even measuring.
Well, he needed to get to the 15-yard line.
Huh.
And apparently the referee's feeling that getting to the 15 was enough.
Monmouth,
not great coverage again down the field by Monmouth.
I was going to say, they elected the play coverage. They only rushed four, dropped seven. The missed tackle from, I believe, Colin Cooper was the one that set that play off.
First down now and 10 from the Hawk 15-yard line. Amrine looking off to his right, wanting to throw right, steps up in the pocket, now comes left. Another flag is out. Amrine will throw this away, and this has got to be a hold. Thrown right into the middle of the line. Thrown at the 21-yard line, and it will be a hold against Cornell. So this will back up the Big Red, who I think would love, obviously, to get seven more on the board with a touchdown, but what they've got to be careful of is getting themselves out of field goal range here as well.
They really need to be concerned. I mean, if you're a Cornell fan, points are what you need here, but it's a weird area of the field. We've seen the Monmouth middle of that defense be so susceptible to the seam route, but if Cornell does that, again, they have the one timeout, MU has two, as there's under 44 seconds to go in the opening half. The Hawks got to try to keep him off the board here.
Amrine with four wide receivers. Sends all four into the pattern. This one almost intercepted by Demersion. Amrine threw to his right. Tasker went to his left. And Demersion with a diving attempt at a interception.
It would have been a fantastic play by Dave Demersion. It was a good play anyway to hold on the down. But he went, dove kind of right at his feet, did have his hands under the football, not able to secure the catch.
Second down and 20 from the Hawk 25. Trips this time off to the right. Heon in motion. Gets a running start. Amrine, flush from the pocket, comes left, steps up in the pocket, and will run out of bounds at the 19. Forced out by Lorfing and O'Hara. It goes as a 6-yard pickup and now brings up third and long.
Still with the timeout in their pocket, so the middle of the field is still an option for the Big Red. They don't have to go sideline. But it seems they've had the ball in this spot the last couple of minutes because they'll get down here, commit a penalty, then they'll get back down there again. MU will go to their nickel look here to try to get some pressure on Amrine.
Third down, 14. 33 seconds remaining here in the first half. Cornell leads by three, 17-14. Mullady, the single back, stays in the block. Amrine, flush in the pocket, throws over the middle. He's got a man open. Touchdown, but a flag down. So hold everything for just a second. The touchdown catch made by Ondash. But this is going to be another hold against Cornell. Whoa.
MU catching a huge break there. Someone might want to tip off the Cornell guy waving the big flag over there. Wasn't a touchdown. Weird play, though. Open seam route. Said it before that that's been open all day. They get the touchdown. Amrine then gets leveled. He was on his back. Then the flag that comes out, my first thought was going to be for roughing the passer. They get the hold. Huge play. Again, they shoot themselves in the foot. Both teams have missed opportunities in this contest.
27 seconds now remaining. It goes from a touchdown to a third and 24 back at the Monmouth 29-yard line. Amrine gets the snap. Again sends four out onto the pattern. Again flush on the pocket. Now steps up again, and this time will get sacked. Brought down by Dan Sullivan, who will register the sack for number 5.5 now on the season. And Cornell will use a timeout to stop the clock with 9.5 seconds remaining.
Well, here's my question now. The ball's at the 37-yard line. Did Cornell stop the clock for a potential long field goal with the wind at their back or for a Hail Mary attempt?
And it would be about a 54-yard field goal.
And I believe Wells is, what now, he's now 3 of 8?
Wells has a long of 42. So, theoretically, this is out of his range. He has tried one at plus 50. He is 0 for 1. And they stop the clock for one more heave, you would think, here down into the end zone.
Well, how about what Monmouth is doing defensively now? Roberts, Sterling, and Davenport are the, they almost look like a soccer back four playing near the goal line.
Hawks going 4-4-2 here. They will rush two. Amrine going to throw it up, sends trips off to his right. He'll let it fly towards the end zone. It is up there, batted out, and then clear of the back line. First time we've seen Monmouth in kind of that safety valve package. And the Hawks will head into the locker room trailing by three, more than likely, though they have it with 2.2 seconds remaining. Can't think that they do anything but just take a knee here and head into the locker room.
Well, we were saying it when Cornell had the football. If MU could hold them to three, it'd be a huge win. They held them to zero. Great end of the half for the Hawks, who got the big touchdown and then held on a long defensive series to keep this a 17-14 game. And to get the ball back to begin the second half, you sign for that every day of the week, and it looks as though they will take a knee.
Frazier coming on, Monmouth in kind of their victory formation. He will take a knee, and the teams will head into the locker room with Monmouth trailing this one 17-14. Turnovers have been the story for MU offensively. They have turned the ball over twice, and Cornell has turned it into points twice. Big Red lead 17-14. We step out. Take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll do scores first, and then Eddie will be joined by Greg Viscomi. Big guy will come up and give us a couple minutes, talk about this one, and we'll do our Monmouth report, stats as well, and a look ahead to half number two. We played 30. Cornell leads at 17-14. We're back in 2 minutes right after this quick timeout. You're listening to Hawk Football on the Shore Sports Network.